Good evening. Our scripture is from the Old Covenant, is Deuteronomy chapter 4. We'll be reading 25 through 31. So please feel free to use your pew Bible if you if you don't have Bible in hand, make use of that which has been provided there for you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 25 through 31. Let's stand. When you shall beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from hence you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in tribulation and all these things will come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he sware unto them. Let's turn to the New Testament now, to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. We'll pick up verse 41 and read to the end of the chapter. Luke 2, 41 to the end of the chapter. Let's give attention to the Word of God. Now his parents, and of course the "his" there is referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem again, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you dealt thus with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things, all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this particular portion of your word that you've given us for our own edification. Help me to preach it truthfully tonight and honestly. And Lord, I ask that you to apply it to my own life, as well as the life of each hearer here. Give us, Father, hungry hearts, thirsty minds, thirsty souls, to take in your word. And Father, may this be a preparation as well for us to come to the Lord's Supper and find in that also a means of grace later in our service this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I always appreciate the water in the pulpit, so whoever provides that, I certainly don't take that for granted. Thank you. It's a real ministry to us as preachers. Well, what event would you choose? Let's say that your family is having a family reunion later this summer, and the organizer of that event wants each family to collect from within that family, each member that's old enough to participate in this activity, a memorable childhood event. Write it up and bring it so a compilation might be given to everyone there to take home as a keepsake for that reunion. What event from your childhood, just one event, would you choose? Or maybe you're still in your childhood. What event, young people, would you choose to include in that compilation? Maybe with what God did Friday in our nation and had mercy upon us and allowed the nationwide end to abortion legality, even though it returns to the state. Maybe that's what you would choose. Certainly a memorable event. Maybe it would be some other event that you don't want anyone to forget about. Maybe with somebody else at the reunion that you recall with joy, with laughter. That would certainly be an interesting thing for us to go back and think. What childhood event stands out in our life, whether or not we have to compile this or not? Well, in the wisdom of our triune God, there is in Scripture one after infancy. We're not going to count several incidences that are mentioned in our Lord's infancy, but there's one childhood event that we know about in our Lord's years of growing up prior to his baptism. And we have that recorded before us here in the Gospel of Dr. Luke, in our text for this evening, verses 41 through 52. We can't get into the depth of it completely, but we want to try to look at it to some degree and pull out, I hope, what will be some practical applications for my life and for your life as we work through this text together. And we want to do it under three headings. The first heading will be the Jerusalem journey, verses 41 through 43. And then we want to look at parental panic, verses 43 through 45. And then finally, we want to look at Christ's calling in the latter part of that chapter. But first of all, we want to look at the Jerusalem journey itself. Why were Mary and Joseph on this long, approximately 70-mile trip to Jerusalem? Well, because they were faithful to what God had commanded to be done, as we have it recorded in the Old Testament. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 16 that three times in a year shall all males appear before the Lord your God in the place where he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. So you would have at least the males coming to Jerusalem three times in a year to worship the living God who had brought them into the promised land. And here we find in our text that in this year, when Jesus was 12 years of age, he accompanied his earthly parents to the city as well. And this was not surprising, because it was a practice. And many times when a Jewish son, Israelite son, reached 12 years of age, for his parents to bring him down to Jerusalem, not leave him back at home, wherever home was, in order to familiarize this son with the area of Jerusalem, because the next year would be his bar mitzvah, and he would be down for that. And so it was just part of parental preparation, of loving parents to bring that son down and accustom him to the layout of Jerusalem as far as they could, and to accustom him with the temple area as well, as much as that was possible. And so we find in our text here that they've come down for the Passover feast. And the Passover lamb was to be killed. And we read back in Exodus about that whole ceremony. Now, we don't do that today because the Lord Jesus came, and he is our Passover lamb. That has been replaced with the Lord's Supper itself, which we will celebrate shortly tonight. But let's remember, Jesus, at 12 years of age, he who was going to go to the cross as the real Passover lamb, now was in Jerusalem. Some 20 or so years before he will go to the cross. And he's there to take in the whole service, because we need a cleansing. So he pointed that out this morning. We need a covering. And so before we go on to the next part, I just want to ask, you might be here tonight and you might not have any covering, any blood covering. Our sins require a blood covering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. No work can put us into heaven. No works, no multitude of works can put us into heaven. Only Christ and his shed blood. You remember this morning we spoke about how Adam and Eve tried to make covering once they had sinned. They tried to make covering to cover their own nakedness, and God sought them out. God came, as he always does for his people. He came and he made a covering from an animal skin. And that animal had to be killed. Blood had to be shed, so that sinful Adam and Eve could have an outward covering. That didn't pay for their sins. It only pointed to Christ Jesus. that perfect Lamb of God who came and gave his life for all who would put their trust in him. We should be reminded of the gospel every day as we get up and put our clothes on to cover our human nakedness, that we need a spiritual covering. And as Christians, in this way, we can begin our day as we are reminded of this. Thank God we have that spiritual covering in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a way to begin the day as we put on our clothes, to be reminded of that greater covering for our spiritual nakedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. All because that Passover lamb came. God was true to his promise. And Jesus kept the law we could not keep and went to the cross and died for our sins. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. Do you know him? If not, flee to him. Trust in him alone as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Turn from your sins. But don't just turn from your sins and go to some other sin. Turn from your sins to Christ, whose covering is available, and who has said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." That was the Passover lamb. That was Christ, who we see here in our text at 12 years of age. But another application I want to make is to parents here. We noticed here the faithfulness of Mary and Joseph to bring that son, Jesus, to Jerusalem, to acquaint him, humanly speaking, with that whole area. And brothers and sisters here who still have children in the home, are you being faithful to take the time to train your own children, that they might be prepared to enter adulthood, not through bar mitzvah or anything like that, but as they age out of the home? Are you training them to answer the assaults of the world? Do they know where in Scripture to turn? Two or three places to answer the pressing social issues of the day. Are you keeping your ear to the ground as social issues change and bombard your children's lives? What they might be, and search the Scriptures for answers so that you can sit down and study the Word with them and say, "Here's an answer. There's an answer. Here's what God's Word says on this issue or that issue." And prepare them to tell questioning friends, or those who may not have the training that God has, by his grace, given us here in this church, to know how to stand. Parents, are you being faithful? It wasn't easy for Jewish parents to pack up and keep up with a child 12 years of age. And we know Jesus was perfectly obedient, but I'm speaking in general here about 12-year-old Jewish boys coming to Jerusalem for that initial introduction. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of work. But they did it because what was ahead of them. And just remind us, by God's grace, that God would give you as parents strength, and knowledge, and insight, and to budget time, to be aware of what the pressing issues facing our covenant children of today, and how to answer them in terms of God's word, that they might go forth and speak that word to the next generation for his glory. Well, trips have to end, as we know about vacations. And this trip to Jerusalem ended. And verses 43 through 45 tell us that when they had fulfilled the days as they returned the child, as they returned back to Nazareth, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his parents, Joseph and Mary, his mother, knew not of it. Imagine this. Now, the way Jerusalem families traveled to these events, the mothers would go all in a group together, and the fathers would go in the same crowd of people, but they would all go together as males and continue on that journey. So it's perfectly understandable. And we can imagine us as parents, what could easily happen. Oh, I don't see Jesus around me. He must be with his mother. And Mary thinking, oh, I don't see Jesus around me. Well, he must be with Joseph. Because at 12 years of age, it was very common in that era for the 12-year-old sons not to be with the other children, but to be with their dads. After all, they were about to enter manhood. And this would accustom them by hanging around the group of men traveling home. This would give them another taste of manhood. And so, unknown to his parents, and without any disobedience, of course, on the Lord Jesus' part, he remained behind. Maybe some of you parents here had the experience of, for one reason or another, not picking up a child that was supposed to be picked up, or maybe left for a few minutes a child here at church. Maybe your family brought two cars that morning for one reason or another. And you thought the wife picked up that child. And it's only when both of you got home that you realized, nope, it didn't happen. Well, you can imagine some of the parental panic that Mary and Joseph faced. Because they really, you see, had no knowledge of this until they were ready to put up camp after a day's journey. And a day's journey was something like 20 to 25 miles, walking miles, headed back, in this case, to Nazareth. What do? They search frantically among those relatives that had traveled with them. No, I haven't seen Jesus. No, I haven't seen him all day. I don't know. Joseph, check with people that accompanied you. Well, I've already done that, Mary, and he's not with them either. They've not seen him. Oh, Joseph, what are we going to do? Well, Mary, we're going to have to go back. We're going to have to go back. We'll have to wait till morning because of the, most likely, I would say, because of the threat of ambush and the danger of the highways at nighttime when it wasn't crowded with people. You can imagine the frightful, restless sleep if they got any that night. What's going on with our son? Where is he? He is the one that's going to save his people from their sins. Mary may have very well thought, the Lord God entrusted him into my womb. Can I keep up with him just for a few years? What a restless night it must have been. Only a few years earlier, they'd had to flee Jerusalem, or the environs of Jerusalem, I should say, because Herod's soldiers were looking for Jesus everywhere. And they made a quick flight to Egypt from Bethlehem. The enemy did not want Jesus to live. I wonder if that went through Mary's mind. We don't know. I'm only speculating. But Mary and Joseph were very human people like us as parents. They had to wait till the next morning. And then where do you even begin to look in Jerusalem? Where would this 12-year-old son be? Can you imagine the frantic trip back, another 20 to 25 miles of walking? And not only the walk itself, but also they're going to have to be pushing, you remember, against the crowd that's still coming out of Jerusalem, going back home. Because it's estimated that some 250,000 people would gather in Jerusalem for these feasts. And so they would have different times of departure and heading home. So you can imagine the push, trying not to get separated from one another as Mary and Joseph were going in a completely different direction than were the outcoming crowd from Jerusalem itself who were heading home. Well, let me pause here and just make a couple of applications before we move on. I want to switch from the physical to the spiritual now and just ask you, brothers and sisters, do you find yourself drifting from the Lord Jesus Christ? He's not near you. In your own sense of the word, he's near us, don't get me wrong. But you don't draw near to him in prayer and excitement, in the excitement of reading God's word, in the hunger and thirst of God's word itself, refreshing you. You've grown cold to it. You still come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's great, but during the week, you find yourself drifting. Or how is your spiritual growth? For her 70th birthday, and Janie was given a quilt that our children and grandchildren made for both of us, but they, both of us turned 70 the same year, but they presented it on Janie's 70th birthday. And each, the squares, it was made up of squares of the handprints of each of our 22 grandchildren. And then another square with the wedding dates of our three children. Real, real keepsake. And when our grandchildren come now, particularly the younger ones and even some of the older ones as well, love putting their hand on their handprint 4 years ago and looking at how much their hands have grown in the intervening time. What if you had a quilt of your spiritual life, a handprint of where you were, or a heart print of where you were 3 or 4 years ago? And you measured it again today. Would you find growth there? Would you find a bigger heart for Jesus? A greater desire for serving him? Of knowing him more? Of walking more closely with him? We all have dry periods in our own life. But what do? With the passage we read from the Old Covenant, Old Testament, earlier in the service, God spoke to a people that were going to be blessed richly with his blessings, and they would grow comfortable in those blessings and forget the giver of those blessings. But he tells us what to do. And so if you're this person tonight, and if you're not, if you're this person next week or whenever, here's what God says to do from Deuteronomy chapter 4 that we read earlier. If you shall seek the Lord your God, you'll find him. If you seek him with your whole heart and with your soul, and when you are in tribulation and all things come upon you, even in the latter days, if you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient unto his voice. Why? Because God's a merciful God. Haven't we found that out time and time again? God's a merciful God. He will not forsake his people. We can't lose as Christians. If we're true Christians, we cannot lose our salvation. But we can have periods of dryness. And if you're there, I say seek him. Seek him with your whole heart. Return to him in prayer. Pray that he would make his word alive unto you and fruitful in your life once again, that you might know the joy of that word. Or maybe you're looking for Christ in the wrong places tonight. Maybe you're trying to see how can you compromise, how can you bend God's word to make it say what the culture today wants you to say. To twist scripture just a little bit, to take it out of context. Have you done that? If you have, Christ will forgive you. If you're truly sorry, there's forgiveness in Christ. That's a Savior we have. Well, finally, quickly, let's move on to Christ's calling for us. What is Christ's calling? We've already spoken to that to those who may be here drifting too far from the shore, from the foundation of Christ. But let's look thirdly at Christ's calling. As I said earlier, Jesus wasn't lost. For he tells Mary and Joseph when they find him. He replies in verse 49, and here we have our Savior's first recorded spoken words in Scripture. He said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Should we expect anything else from the Lord Jesus Christ? That perfect Savior, who was always in his incarnate state, always about his Father's business. Where was he? He was in the temple, verse 46 tells us. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Oh, but you see, the Lord Jesus had from the very moment of his incarnation loved the triune God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because you and I haven't done that. And you see, Jesus had to do it for us. And he did do it for us. And he who loved triune God He was the second member of the Godhead. With all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, knew more theology, more about the scriptures than all of us put together tonight. More than all the doctors and officials gathered there in that temple that day. Is it any wonder that they were astonished at his understanding and answers? Jesus had to be about his Father's calling. And we find Dr. Luke speaking about his Father's calling, Jesus' calling elsewhere. Son of man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. But let me hasten to ask about your calling, brothers and sisters. My calling this week, as we come to the Lord's table tonight, as we go out to serve the Lord Jesus this week, is it foremost in your mind, I must be about my Savior's calling in my vocation? My identity as a Christian, whether I'm a housewife, whether I work at Eastman, wherever I work, whether I'm retired, whether I'm a young person, I'm enjoying a few months off from school, whether I'm headed out on vacation in the next few days. I must be about my Father's calling. And what is that calling? What does Jesus call you and me to do? Let me just give you a couple of examples for us to meditate upon as we come to the Lord's table tonight. You can find others, but I'll just quote from 1 Thessalonians, a couple of passages. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Or we turn over to 2 Thessalonians 5:16, and there Paul writes, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are just a couple of God's callings that he gives us. May we be about the calling. May we see that we must be about it, even as our Savior saw that he must be about his calling throughout his ministry on earth. May we, as God's people, be about his calling for you and for me in our vocations as we seek to live for him. And may God give us strength to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this insight to our Lord's life. Lord, I've tried to apply the word, and I know not, Lord, what each one needs here. I only know my own heart, but Lord, I pray for your spirit to take it and apply it and continue to apply it. Lord, as we come to the Lord's table, and as we live out the gospel this week, bring forth the fruit you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.